B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
The NFLPA allowed that to happen with no increase. They should just officially retire as the worst players union ever.
Right. Like, it's nice to see them getting along all hunky-dory now until this shoe drops, basically.
Yeah.
All right, let's tell him. Matt's got something on this, and Audubon wants to chime in on the 18-game schedule. Matt, it's on your mind, brother.
All right, guys.
Hey.
Tell me if I'm crazy here. All right, so 18 games.
Yeah.
And 16 of them are where the starters are going to play. And then two of them are going to be the backups. It sounds very much like preseason and then the regular season. They're just making two more regular season games that would really be preseason games count.
Yeah, they would affect the standings, exactly.
It's just a reversal of what we already have. It's a disguised facade.
Yeah. So what you're hoping is that instead of maybe the last game of the season doesn't matter for you and you don't have to play your starters, you're really hoping that the last two games of the regular season don't matter for you so you don't have to play your starters.
On top of that, the league disguises it to make more money because it's a regular season game with more viewers. And we still only get to see the good players play for 16 of them.
And you know what else? The other thing is that if that's how long the regular season is going to be, that means it's also another 2 weeks of fantasy football factoring into ratings with people being drawn to those games late.
Mm-hmm.
So
we can't fall for this. It's not a real thing. They're trying to trick us. Everyone has to come together and you know, let Roger Goodell know that we're smarter than them.
No, Matt, we're not. You might be, and we might be, but as a nation, we are not. Football fans across America, we are going to fall from this because they're giving us more of what we want.
What is the theory behind them proposing this so they could take it away and like look like the good guys? I heard something about that.
Yeah.
Negotiating tactic.
You always have to throw something out there and then you just take it from there.
Sure, but I don't think this is one of those things.
NFL players maybe they have the worst union, but like maybe they're the reason that they keep getting things done to them like this. Like, they should already be saying, no, not going to happen, we're not doing that. But apparently, they're the only union that doesn't have smart people running it. So, all right, guys.
All right, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I think football is the thing that we can't have enough of. As a society, we can't have enough of it. People crave football. They want more football. Personally, I love it at 16 games. I think the NFL right now is perfect the way it is in terms of their structure of the schedule. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a better job than any other sport ever. Like, baseball was around for 100 years, like the only game in town, right? Now football has overtaken that. It's the NFL and it's everything else. Even the NBA that we were having the conversation with last week, nationally, it'll never be what the NFL is. Only in local markets, depending on how that particular team is doing, can you make that argument. But even overall, again, the fantasy aspect of it plays in so much because everybody has a fantasy football team now. Mm-hmm. It plays into it so much more than the other sports where it really becomes a factor rating-wise. It's one with the other. I think it's perfect, the structure the way it is, but so much more money will be generated, even if it is two games of backups. Let's put it that way.
I don't even want the backups. I think you go 18-game regular season and you just have at it. But I'm okay with taking away two of the preseason games. But you still have to have preseason. I think the whole idea of they don't need preseason, yes, you do.
Well, what if it comes down to this? Let's just put this out there, right? Let's say it's week 17, week 18 even, right? And you got to a point where you rallied it towards the end of the season, the final quarter of the season, let's say. Now you're in playoff contention. You've had must-win games throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't start Carson Wentz week 18 because you already used him in the two previous weeks.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, you're mixing and matching guys. So as a coach now, besides coming up with a game plan, which is so hard in the NFL to do and all that, but wait, we can't do this because, no, he's not available this week. Do we sit here? You're getting coaches that are going to have to actually pay a lot of time to figure out who's playing when.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do that, oh yeah, now this game plan thing I got to put in too. There's no sport that limits who you can use on your team. That's ridiculous.
No, it's the whole thing seems odd to me. I didn't read the story. It's one of those things. Somebody mentioned the story to me first, and I went, "That can't be right. 16 games in an 18 game schedule." Like, that's where they had players ineligible for a couple of the games?
Yeah, right.
So that is the report that came out. I think the Wall Street Journal had it. The ESPN had it as well. That's the report that's out there right now that the NFL wants to go. The owners want to go to an 18-game schedule. Part of their proposal to for player safety or whatever, their well-being, would be that they don't. Yeah, I know. I do the same thing.
Yeah, like the owners really care.
Well, we'll get to that in one second. But I will say that that's the owner's proposal right now in the Players Association. Like, yeah, that's see you later. No thanks. Yeah. Now, I will say,
Brett tweets in. He's like, "What do you do with the kicker, though? Like, you have to carry an extra kicker for two games?
Yeah,
like nobody wants that.
He's exempt.
Yeah, your long snapper has to take a 2-game break.
You have multiple guys anyway. When it comes to that,
yeah, you back up long. But yeah. I mean, I guess the punter becomes the backup kicker. Then what do you do for the punter? Those two games.
Now your punter is
now you got Camu Grugier Hill punting.
Hold on, I got a better idea. It'll save teams money. Steady quarterback. You name one quarterback, you pick him out from the stands, and he's your steady quarterback for the game.
Yeah,
you know what they're like, the people that shoot the half court shot at a halftime of a basketball game.
Yeah,
they can't have played basketball before. Uh-huh. You can't have played quarterback before. Steady quarterback, and you're free. You
play I see no
free.
Problems with it.
There we go. I think that's just a good proposal by me. Now you mentioned something there, Bob. You know, have you ever long snapped before?
Not that I recall, Mark.
Trey,
no.
Have you ever given it a shot?
No.
Jamie, you ever tried a long snap?
Just fooling around.
Yeah.
Not very good at
have
it.
Have you done?
Not great.
I am literally...
Not bad, but not great.
The first time I ever tried it, it was a perfect, beautiful spiral. Like, whatever it is. What was it? How many yards is it? Like 10 yards behind you? 15 yards behind
you? How long did it take?
What?
For the spiral to
get there?
They time it.
Dude, like that. Okay. It was there. It was like...
It was like a Mike Bartram right through the car windows. Yeah. Remember when he used to do that?
Yeah, it was the drive-thru. You're running around with John Clark. It was a great bit. I still remember it. Yeah, it was like I had done it a million times before. The second time I did it, I put it like over a fence that I didn't even know was there. Right? I'm like a perfect 50-50. It's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, it's not easy.
So, nonetheless, you know, I hate when people try to do... Well, have you ever done it before? Especially pro athletes, they play the "I played you didn't" card, right? Mm-hmm. Jake Arrieta,
I don't. I never play that card with you guys.
You don't.
Yeah.
God bless you.
I think it, but I don't.
I love it. I knew you were going to say that, and I would too if I was you. Like, what the hell are you doing talking to me about that? Anything? Okay. So you have Jake Arrieta, who actually he hit me in the feels a little bit over the weekend. Mm. I was like, this is my man, Mr. Tight Pants himself. He's getting it done out there. He's doing well. He's pitching well. He gives you the 5 innings. All right. He had a double. Jamie mentioned it earlier. You're starting to feel good about Mr. Tight Pants, right? And after the game, he admits that he's really, you know, he did this after his last start against the Mets, where he said, you know, he's injured. He's hurting a little bit here. But guess what? He's going to pitch through it. And we know about the bone spurs. That's become a thing. Here's Jake Arrieta talking about how, you know what? We know he's not 100%, but you know what? He's going to go after it.
Collectively, I think everyone should realize that I'm not 100%, and I'm okay with that. I'm going to do everything I can to be as good as I can for our team to help us, you know, shrink the margin down the stretch and you know, hopefully get back in the race for winning this division.
See that? That's our guy, right? You want to rally behind that guy. He's playing hurt.
Yeah. Mm.
But he went on to talk about that injury a little bit more. Listen to this.
It's going to be a pretty consistent theme. It's going to be painful. But good thing is I'm not going to injure it any further. It is what it is. We'll get it taken out when the time's right. But, you know, I can do what I did today for us a lot. And sometimes it's going to be even better.
He's got the bone spurs.
Yeah.
He's got the bone spurs. He's got those bone spurs in his elbow. I'm sorry. But he's got the bone spurs, but he's pitching through it. They hurt like hell, right?
Yeah. Bone spurs suck.
So all that stuff that he's saying about Mr. Tight Pants, all he's saying about the bone spurs is that he's hurt. Mm-hmm. He's trying to do better for the team. And he's going to try to pitch through it.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody get that man a medal.
Grinding through it.
Yeah, what a warrior. Yeah. Is that what he wanted, like us today, to be like, wow, that Jake Arrieta. What a guy.
See that? You see right there?
He's playing hurt.
I have on my fancy warrior.
Yeah. He's made up for everything. Your 4.8 ERA, doesn't matter. You're pitching through pain.
Warrior.
Let me set the scene for you, all right?
Barbed wire, fancy panties on.
How do you know he has panties on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what? He might not because there's no line. But I'll tell you this. My mom, she's a saint. She's an angel of a woman. She comes into Philly. She lives in the suburbs. She comes into Philly to help my wife and I settle into our new home, right? She takes a break. She sits down with me on the sofa, and she's watching the post-game stuff with me for the Phillies, and I'm watching Jake Arrieta. And the whole time, I'm thinking, oh, Mr. Tight Pants, you are really, you're giving it your all. You're trying to fight through adversity. You're really getting me in the feels, man. You're being a champion to the cause of winning.
Yeah.
Eleanor sat next to me when this exchange happened between Jake Arrieta and Jim Salisbury.
Listen, what kind of pain are we talking? Are we talking ice pick or toothache?
I mean, it's not good. It's not good.
No. Better than that.
I mean, it's...
like, throbbing?
Have you ever pitched before?
No.
So it's hard. It's hard to relate.
Oh, have you ever pitched before? Have you only pitched? So real quick, Eleanor looks at me and goes, who's that? And I go, that's Jake. I go, that's Jake Arrieta.
Mr. Tight Pants.
She goes, oh, is that Tight Pants? I go, yeah, Mom, that's... I go, that's Tight Pants. And she goes, I don't like him. He's got a tight head. He needs to loosen up a little bit. I was like, damn, Mom, throwing daggers.
He's got a tight head.
Tight head.
I like that.
He's wound tight.
Okay.
All right. But Tight Pants got a little snippy with Jim Salisbury.
Yeah, he did.
And I did not appreciate that.
So unnecessary.
So you ever pitched before? Huh? Chump?
I wouldn't put past Jim Salisbury. I bet you Jim Salisbury has thrown like a bevy of no-hitters in high school.
Like, yeah, I pitched. Yeah, I pitched before.
Like, Jim knows better than to go there with an athlete. Like, Jim's not an idiot, right? He's a really bright guy. He knows not to go down that path with a player. So he doesn't say no. He's just like,
Actually, I have.
Like, but like, kind of like, yeah, I pitched, but not like you. Like, I'm not trying to compare myself. Like, you mean to tell me because you're a pitcher in Major League Baseball, you can't express what it's like to have pain to an average Joe?
I don't know.
He should have came back with, no, did you ever write? And if Arrieta said no, say, well, you do your job and I'll do mine. What's it feel like? Just answer my question.
Bad boy of sports journalism.
No, I'm just saying, maybe that was the way to go about it.
Bad boy journalism.
That's what Bob Cooney would go from Bobby Cooney.
That's right. Bobby is on the case.
Like, dude, like Jake Arrieta, I'm like championing the cause for up until that point during the press. I'm like, wow, I'm actually going to do a show tomorrow where I'm like, Tight Pants, love that man. I love that man because he's giving it all he's got. And then he pulls the... You ever pitched before?
And Jim even gave him like two descriptive ways to just say what it was.
Toothpick or ice pick. Toothache or ice pick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, but what do you expect coming from somebody that said, look, I will put a dent in his skull.
I gave him the proper respect. He is now Mr. Tight Pants. And he gave you 5 innings yesterday, a 1-run baseball and a double.
With bone spurs.
I'm willing to like start liking this guy. And then he comes out with it. Well, you ever pitched before? Then you don't know pain, son. Basically is how you take that.
Pain don't hurt.
just there to show you that you're still alive.
There you go. All right, we got Warren, we got Jim, we got Charlie. Get open lines after that. 610-632. Oh, Jim in the Poconos has an interesting little suggestion here when it comes to that NFL schedule. We'll jump back into that in a few here on... Oh, and by the way, in case you haven't heard Andy McPhail yet, we'll get to that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Don't forget, on days like today, a Monday, for instance, twitch.tv, you can check out our post-show showcast. Now, are we just going to do this in the final 10 minutes of the program?
Yeah, man, just have them come on.
Works for me!
Got time to be sitting up here.
So, around, I don't know, around what, 9:45, I guess?
Well, whatever you get to, just have them come on in, man.
Just whatever
anything that takes up 10 minutes, Mark.
Sean, just walk in here, and we'll do our post-show showcast here with Farzetta, Trey, of course, Jamie, Samantha on Twitch. Simply follow 97.5 The Fanatic on twitch.tv for our post-show showcast. It's just that easy. And speaking of Samantha, give us an update, please, on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for window shop, windownation.com. Take advantage of the 50% off sale at Window Nation on any style window, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Per Sixers insider Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons has, quote, made big improvements on his game. So today we asked, how confident are you that Ben Simmons will have a mid-range game next season? We have just under 1,400 votes so far. It went down a little bit. 65% now say they are not confident.
Yeah, it's going in the right direction, though. I'm very confident that he's going to come back. I put it at 8.
80% confident. 8 out of 10 that he was going to come back feeling good about his jump shot and be confident enough to take it. Now, he went around the horn. Trey Thomas himself was in a 10 for 10. 10.
Yes.
100% confident.
Yeah.
He's going to do it.
He's going to do it. He's going to come back with a jumper. I don't know how efficient it's going to be.
He's going to come back with a jumper. You're at a 10.
Yeah, I'm at a 10. He's going to shoot it.
Bob Cooney, was it a 2?
I got to see. I don't know. I got to see it.
As he scratches his neck like, hey, I don't know what you want. I'm going to go get the papers. What was that? I'm going to go get the papers. Jamie Lynch was at a 4.5.
Yeah, I could be talked into a 5. The 4.5 was just to kind of say I'm closer to 5 than 4.
That's still negative. Doesn't make me feel good.
The 4.5 is supposed to say you're closer to 5 than 4?
Yeah.
So 4.6.
I mean, you round up, right?
So just say five.
I could be talked into a 5.
You could be talked into a 5.
Yeah,
but you're still.
That's
not,
all I got.
It's the best I can do. So right now you're like you have your hands over the fence, but not your legs.
Yeah,
you're like that's how we're doing.
I could get lucky. It could be a successful jump, or it could just be a failure.
All right. Well, here's something I wanted to give people on the Phillies here, because I know on base percentage is all the rage nowadays, and I get it. It's a great thing. It shows you're not making outs. That's wonderful, right? And Rhys Hoskins being around a 400 on base percentage is pretty damn good, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. He's a 4-hole hitter. Supposed to be driving in runs. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned earlier his .260 batting average with runners in scoring position. Well, I wanted to give that some perspective. In the National League, with runners in scoring position, do you know where that .260 batting average ranks him with runners in scoring position? Minimum 60 at bats, 70 at bats? Do you want to take a stab at it? Where ranks him
among cleanup hitters or among all hitters?
Among all hitters.
74th.
So, you're not far off.
Oh, God.
69th.
Close?
Too obvious, Bob.
It's 42nd. National League. Your 4-hole hitter in this lineup is hitting, right now, I think, he is hitting 256, I believe, with runners in scoring position.
Yeah,
that's not, you're paid to that spot to drive in runs. And I understand Rhys Hoskins isn't making big bucks, but I only say this because I know everyone wants to direct their attention to Andrew Knapp for coming to the plate in clutch situations like he did over the weekend. But really, the guys that are supposed to be the big bats in the lineup haven't been the big bats in the lineup.
Mm.
Rhys Hoskins should be batting better than .258 or whatever it is right now with runners in scoring position. Just like Bryce Harper should be on pace for more than 30 home runs this season. Which he's not, by the way. 29 still, I believe, is what he's set at right now. The big bats in the lineup is what bothers you the most. Let's get Warren in here, and Cherry Hill wants to talk about the Phillies and the NFL schedule. What's up, Warren?
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, buddy.
I got to tell you, this Salisbury situation, if I'm him, I just turn around and go, well, have you ever tried to write an article about a guy who's robbed more money from anybody than Jesse James?
Good spin.
It is, and we've all talked about how he's not done what he's supposed to. You think about it. Only because of years, if it was any more than 3 years, this could be the worst contract in the history of these Phillies. Really is. That guy's done nothing for him to get on his pedestal and act like that. Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, did Danny Tartable ever talk this much trash?
You know what? But Danny Tartable never got this kind of money.
Well, yeah.
You're going to run your mouth and you stink for $1 million, that's fine. I got to tell you guys something. This schedule at the NFL. So the week we already know the week Carson Wentz don't play, you can't let any offensive lineman not play. I just don't understand. This will never fly. You're never going to be able to sit there and make it work out. What if you can't. The only possible can happen is if you're running away with the division and you sink your guys in the last 2 weeks. But it's impossible to work a schedule when you're trying to think who you're going to sit when it's Carson and when it's quiet.
Yeah,
I just don't get how they possibly do it.
I don't think... I don't see a way you can have reserves. Like, to say you can only play 16 out of 18 games?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's all, that. You know what that is? That's league-wide load management.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to do. You cannot do it with these players. I just, It's just not something that works. So they can sit there and they can eliminate two exhibitions, and then we'll have to listen to watch how bad football is the first few weeks of the season.
Yeah, I appreciate
the time.
Thanks, Warren, as always, man. Yeah, I don't get. I think this is a very weak attempt. Let's just put it that way. Let's get Charlie in Wilmington up here. Charlie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So I was debating with some friends about this new proposed 18-game schedule, and we were talking about it. It doesn't really seem like there's a definitive way for it to work out. There's just too many flaws. There's too much that can go wrong from a team-to-team basis, from a week-to-week basis. So I wanted to get you guys' take on this. Don't you think it would be a smoother transition and possibly bring just as much excitement, if not more, to add possibly two more wild card spots rather than two more full regular season games?
I don't. Mm. One thing about the NFL playoffs, I think they're... it's not easy to make, but I think they're easy enough at this point.
Yeah.
I still like knowing that a team in the play. It's the same thing with baseball. I like that baseball was so hard to make the playoffs, and they expanded it to that one game, quote unquote, playoff. But in football, I think their postseason structure is fine. And I think the regular season structure is fine. But I think if you're going to mess with either of them, you're going to mess with the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Oh, no worries,
Charlie.
All right.
You made him see the light, Mark.
I guess I just enjoy
he
when...
He was blinded.
I guess when they concede the point, it's, I don't know, it's always a victory. I don't know. Jim in Poconos has an alternative here as well. Jim, what do you have?
Here's where I think this is going to land if they ever do it. I think they'll reduce the exhibition games to two, expand regular season to 18, introduce an extra bye week, allow all 53 players to be active on game day, and tinker with the rules with clock management so there's actually less plays per game. So the total number of plays that players play in a season where they can get injured is comparable to where it is today. That way you get the extra revenue, you address the safety issue, and the other nice benefit of it is if you introduce that extra bye week and push the Super Bowl 1 week deeper into February, I believe that should align with President's Weekend, which could make that a true national holiday where business is closed down on Monday and the Super Bowl becomes even a bigger celebration than it already is.
Whoa.
Okay, see, now that's right there.
That's good. That's a party right there, Jim. I love that aspect of it. I love that aspect of it. Brilliant job by you. Do you want to go to FanFest, Jim?
Sure.
Boom. Probably. That's happening. That is brilliant. That part of it.
Not the 12-minute quarters if he wants to knock it down to that.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, no, keep the regular clock. Time management stuff. Yeah.
But you know what it will do?
What's that?
For people that are saying the game drags, you take away 3 minutes, it would obviously decrease game time. And you wouldn't have games bleeding into the 4 o'clock game, so to speak, as often as you do now.
This is just getting way too heavy. Let's just stick with the 18 game season.
But you know what it also do?
Yeah.
The stat books, they wouldn't be as tainted. Because you're playing less minutes.
I mean, if you blow on a team out, it doesn't matter if it's 15 minute clock or 12.
I'm just saying there wouldn't be as much time on the clock.
I don't know.
Go mercy rule in the fourth quarter. If you're ahead by so many points, clock never stops.
You're going NBA rules here. You're going 48-minute games and not 60 minutes.
No, I kind of like it the way it is.
All right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's not... I'm just saying that's
like
not...
60 minutes of football.
If you're negotiating, if you're at the negotiating table and you really want to get those 18 games, then that's it. That is a way to take away play. I'm just saying. Look, all this is outside the box. All this is crazy.
Right.
But, I mean, that's not a terrible idea to make them 12-minute quarters. If my goal is to get more advertising time, right, over two more games. I'm going to get that over the two more games, no matter what I decrease actual game time to.
Hmm.
If it would be worth it for the revenue, because obviously you would lose a commercial break, maybe. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for me is I get to keep an extra game.
Hmm.
Mull it over. We're mulling it over.
What is it, 12 minutes of actual action in a three-hour window for NFL games?
If that, it's like 6 minutes, 8 minutes.
I think it's like 11 and change.
Okay.
Of actual action.
You mean snap to end of play?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then you'd be taking it down to like 9 minutes. I mean, I want more football.
Okay.
Not less.
All right.
I hear you. I mean, it's out there. It's outside the box.
It's out there. It's out there right now, and people want to make the decision.
I like 60 minutes of football.
Yeah, can it just be as simple as you add two more games, but you add a bye week, and that's it?
Yeah, okay.
Just add a bye week, take away two preseason games, let's go.
Okay. So the only thing that you really don't like about the new deal is that you would have to sit your starters for at least two games.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
We'd find out what Nate Sudfeld is. No, you're right, we would, but... If you're an NFL team, would it behoove you to just get it out of the way to start the season and see how you fare and then play the rest? So essentially, it would be two more preseason games.
Right?
You'd still have four preseason games in total.
But you'd also want to rest your best players versus the worst teams.
Meep. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. And then you're starting them off gassed. I mean, what are you going to do? Who are you going to do that with? Are you going to do that with the quarterback? Because then now you're starting your offensive line. You're going to have to start your offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, you know, because they need time.
Yeah, I don't know how they had figured it out, but I do have to tell you, 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Now, the big thing that really was under my skin to start the show today was something that happened before the weekend really even started here. Mm-hmm. So you guys do the show Friday. I was off, right? I had wonderful reports on how well the show was, how good the show was, all that.
Who gave you a report?
Everybody.
Oh, okay.
Everybody ever that ever existed.
Okay, cool.
They were just rave reviews.
Oh, that's awesome.
So afterwards... You listen to Andy McPhail in the dugout addressing the media.
Yeah.
Andy McPhail doesn't just address the media, Bobby.
No.
Has to be a special occasion.
Has to be the end of the season where he tells you that he's putting new lights in the stadium. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Has to be something about how Gabe Kapler can't be all puppy dogs and ice cream all the time. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always something very special. The end of a season, he'll address the media. It's happened the last 2 years. I tried to talk to him a couple of weeks ago at the KALS the festival that they had at the ballpark and didn't want to talk about the season. He just wanted to talk about the festival itself. Okay, fine. So we got him. He talked about that. So here he is after the All-Star break looking to give his manager a vote of confidence, and he basically says Gabe's our guy. There's no thinking about moving on from Gabe Kapler. So basically he gives that vote of confidence to the skipper in place right now, hired by his guy, Matt Klentak. And what does the team do? Do they come out and play inspired baseball, Trey?
Mm-mm.
Do they come out and put up some runs there, Bobby?
No,
they got shut out 4-0. Yeah. So it didn't exactly go the way that the Phillies had hoped, either on the field or in the dugout while addressing the media, the message they're trying to send out. And how about this one? How about the next game? Did they play inspired baseball the following night? Nope.
Up until the ninth inning?
The ninth inning didn't go so well.
No.
Cesar Hernandez also boneheaded play, tries to steal third base. That didn't work out so well. Where's the smart baseball I need to see? It wasn't there. Yesterday, they salvage a game in the three-game series, and they're able to beat, finally, the team that's just ahead of them in the standings in the Washington Nationals. Now, the Nationals are in the wild card spot. Phillies right now occupy the second wild card spot by a half game over the Brewers, who lost yesterday while the Phillies won. That's how that works. But still... The Phillies don't respond to the team president giving their manager a vote of confidence. They still lose 2-3 to the Washington Nationals. They blow a game where Aaron Nola looked like Aaron Nola yet again, minus the four walks. The walks, something that's still got to get under control for Aaron Nola. So they don't come out and exactly do a good job. Then you had the back and forth with Jake Arrieta and Jim Salisbury yesterday after the win, which kind of put a little bit of a damper on that. Now you have the Dodgers coming into town in a pivotal series yet again against the Phillies. Are the Phillies trying to like alienate us right now? Like I feel like we want to root for them, we want to watch them succeed, but we know it's going to be a struggle. But the front office comes out and doesn't do anything to make you feel better. Like Andy McPhail came out and gave a formula on what they need to do by the trade deadline, and it's basically up to the players to see whether or not this team goes out and makes acquisitions, or this team says that we're good, and like it's a basic formula. If you feel like you're close, you add. If you feel like you're miles away, you stand pat or you sell. Like, that's not a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to Andy McPhail on Friday, what did you take away from it? Did you take away any inspiration? Did you take away any feeling that you feel like you're in good hands right now with the Phillies organization? Does anything make you feel good about this season?
I felt like I was trying to grab water with my hands. Like, I couldn't put my hands around anything. I couldn't. It was like, wait, what? Huh? Where? What? Where? I came away feeling that they don't know where they are right now either. Uh-huh. Like what he
said. Andy McPhail told you that, yeah.
Right, yeah. We could be buyers, we could be sellers. depends on where we are.
We're not going to win a World Series anyway.
Okay, where are you? Okay, well, what do you think? Do you think you have a chance or don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just odd.
Tell me you have a chance. Lie to me.
It's the
something
second McPhail cut we had.
Show me you're alive.
Right. It's the second McPhail cut we had. We didn't play for you. I want to get to it here though. About that World Series, Jamie, that you just mentioned, and here's how kind of capping the formula that he was talking about.
From my perspective, you have to be a little more judicious with your playing talent if you think you've got a longer haul to get through the postseason. Hard for us to make the judgment now. We're one trade away from the World Series. We don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Okay, so
I agree with him. We're
on the same page there.
Yeah.
But he also said before that it's up to the players. Well, yeah. The players that he helped acquire, and Matt Klentak acquired on this team. They went and they got Jay Bruce, who's been good at the plate for him and been a detriment in the field for him. And then they go out and they add Logan Morrison. And now there's reports about them going out to Toronto to scout a right-handed pitcher in
Marcus Stroman.
Who's
a good player, but he's only a one-year deal, so there's no guarantees of... You know, it's a buy now move. Yeah. It's not for the future as well.
Okay, so if you had a buy now move, right, then why didn't you just go get Dallas Keuchel?
Exactly.
And he could have had him already
for nothing.
Six or seven starts under his belt.
Yeah, and he's been doing pretty well. When's the last time a Phillies pitcher went seven innings of one earned run?
So
outside of Aaron Nola.
All right, here's the big question for you, because this is ultimately when you're looking at things here, or how you should be looking at things. So Jake Arrieta is planning to pitch the rest of the season with bone spurs in his elbow. A pain tray so great, he can't describe it to the average man.
Yeah.
And he's going to decide to pitch basically at 80%. And you mean to tell me 100% of Dallas Keuchel couldn't be better than that? And then possibly better than Zach Eflin or Nick Pivetta or Vince Velasquez?
Well, here's my... When the Keuchel thing originally happened, I said, all right, they're telling us that whatever they're going to do at the trade deadline is going to be better than Dallas Keuchel. The way I view it as a Phillies fan that's starving over here, you could have done both.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Keuchel only cost you money.
I thought the whole point of the Bryce Harper offseason was to win.
Yeah. If you end up getting Marcus Stroman and you had a Dallas Keuchel in here, I feel really damn good about their chances.
So I got Gene Segura. I got JT Realmuto. Who, by the way, is already saying he wants to play here and keep playing here.
Yeah.
And you also got Bryce Harper and Andrew McCutchen, and we know what happened there injury-wise. You went out and you made those major moves to stand pat at the deadline? Or when other opportunities presented themselves to be better by this time this year, you passed up on them, whether that was Dallas Keuchel or even Craig Kimbrell. And Kimbrell, I get to a point because that's ridiculous money. But when it comes to a deal like Dallas Keuchel, you couldn't have just made that deal and helped out your starting rotation?
I've been perplexed by this thing all along. And as I said earlier, you lost two-thirds of your outfield and you did nothing. You brought in Jay Bruce, but when you brought him in, McCutchen wasn't hurt. That was going to be an extra bat off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You lucked out that you got an outfielder just before he got hurt, and now you have to plug him in. You lost two-thirds of your outfield, and you've done nothing to rectify it. Nothing, except put Scott Kingery out there every day in center field.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So I'll ask you this. What are you doing? What are you going to do? Because who's the trade bait right now if you're the Phillies? If you really want to go get somebody, who are you dangling in front of another team that's like, oh, yeah, I want that guy?
Spencer Howard? Does that do anything for you?
All right.
So I mean, that's what they got, that.
All right. So no one wants to trade Alec Baum, right?
No.
All right.
No Adam Haseley appears to be in their plans for center fielder in the future.
All right. So what's Mickey Moniak doing here?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I think they're just playing the odds, and hopefully one of those two will hit.
So Cesar Hernandez, Michael Franco started to hit. Scott Kingery is a guy that they've signed long-term.
They don't have a lot to offer.
No. So it's like, what's the deal you make? You got to go for the guys that you're can hopefully buy low, and they'll exceed that expectation.
Yeah.
You know what they need? You know what they think they need? Joe Blanton.
Yeah.
That's who they think they need.
And real
right
quick
now.
On Marcus Stroman, I was wrong. He's arbitration eligible after this year, so he does have one more year of control.
Okay. All
so right. that's a move I would make.
Okay.
Because the free agent crop next year of pitchers is not good.
All right. We're going to break this down a little bit further coming up. We'll also get back into Tobias Harris, who broke the news about Ben Simmons working his tail off on that jump shot, hopefully giving people some cause for optimism in the not-too-distant future. And no matter how bad it might get in Philadelphia,
right? It might get bad with the Phillies this year. They might really go down even a deeper hole than they're in right now. But just in terms of sports in general, at least they're not the Washington Redskins. Did you see this story over
the
weekend?
That's always nice to say.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
This two stories about the Washington Redskins that we can point and laugh at coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
All right, so here's another scary Rhys Hoskins thing. Well, everyone wants to yell about Andrew Knapp. Knapp just represents the front office, right? That's what all the freakout was over the weekend. Like, I understand that people hate Andrew Knapp to begin with, but the freakout is more so over the fact that the front office hasn't done better than Andrew Knapp.
He's your top bench bat?
Yeah.
Wow. That's bad.
It's more so about the front office, right?
Yeah, I see Klentak's face on Knapp's body.
I just want to make sure that we don't just, like, hate Andrew Knapp.
No, he's just, he doesn't belong, and they continue to put him out there in pressure situations.
Okay, so a guy who's been in pressure situations almost a top 10 in baseball. I didn't realize this. I knew he'd be up there, but Rhys Hoskins has come to the plate with runners in scoring position. Sorry, he's had this many at-bats with runners in scoring position. 90. That's top 10 in all of baseball. I didn't realize that.
Wow.
All right? Yeah, so that's a lot of ABs.
Yeah.
Right? He's ranked 91st. His .256 batting average with runners in scoring position is ranked 91st. In all of baseball, with players that have come to the plate with 75 at-bats or more in Major League Baseball. That's your four-hole hitter. So I think your lineup is underachieving with or without Andrew Knapp is my point. And this team does need to do better than Andrew Knapp coming off the bench. But Rhys Hoskins hitting .256 with runners in scoring position is something that I'm a little bit more upset about. Because he's a guy that's out there every single day. And needs to be performing as a four-hole hitter should. Like getting on base is great. You're not making outs. Wonderful. You're supposed to make runs happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that is disappointing. I didn't realize his numbers were that bad.
They're pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you going to do, though, with JT going, having to go in on maternity leave?
Yes.
Congratulations on having a little.
A little selfish of him to have the baby in season, but, you know. Cal Ripken always had
proper
his kids
planning
on off days.
Piss poor performance.
Yeah, that's right. Start having the sex, like, towards the end of the season, and come on.
Come on, bro. What the hell,
be
man?
Better.
Yeah,
be better.
Yeah, that's always funny. The only thing that was funnier than that was when Charlie Manuel missed a game because of his daughter's wedding.
Come on, Charlie. She's got to know in baseball season.
And I'm like, look, I know it's your daughter's day and all.
If you tell her, let's wait till after the season.
So you got 6 months to choose.
But, I mean, what you getting married in the middle of winter?
Yeah. No, winter weddings are beautiful. Yeah.
Just because you got married in a blizzard.
Yeah, good point.
That's right. You did. I forgot about that, Bobby.
I mean, October's a lovely time of the year to get married.
Let's get Mike and Del Rand up here. Yo, Mike. Hey,
how you guys doing?
Good,
what's
man.
Going on?
Hey,
I want to talk Phillies real quick. Have you guys talked about it? Did you see anything about that Angels no hitter the other night on Tyler Skaggs' birthday?
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
That was awesome.
So, you guys talked about it?
We didn't talk about it.
Jamie and Bob, I think, hit it in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah,
it was his birthday, right? And they honored him. And the last time there was a no hitter thrown in the state of California was on the day he was born. How crazy is that?
Yeah,
that's insane. That's
insane. But Phillies talk, man. Listen, like I tweeted this the other day, right? We almost made the playoffs last year. We had an overachieving team, but a lot of those guys are still on the team. And this year, they're supposed to improve. Even if we went out and made hardly any moves, the expectation is when a team performs that way, they need to improve. So the fact that they're not buyers, they're not going out and trying to do anything to make this club better, and they're just going to ride it out. Sickens me as a fan of Philadelphia sports.
Well,
let's think about if the Eagles did something like that, right? If the Eagles were right there and they did nothing and they just let it, and they, like after that 7-9 season, like they just didn't improve. They didn't get JHI. They didn't do all the things they did. This team did improve and they still suck. Like right now, it's so hard to watch these sports guys. It's so hard. Well, can't wait for football.
Me neither, Mike. Thanks for the call, brother. No, I think we're all on that page right now, especially when you hear Andy McPhail talk. Like, the only reason he came out to really say anything was that to like give his manager a vote of confidence. That's really the only thing that like came across as a message.
Yeah, and he didn't really have to, did he? I mean, was anybody, as bad as things have been, was anybody really questioning Kapler?
I'm done with him.
I know, but like nothing really happened before the All-Star break that had everybody up in arms over Kapler.
Yeah.
It was kind of like he just had to come out.
Yeah, nothing new.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So that's why I was confused as to why he came out at all, and then to practically say nothing makes it all the more head-scratching.
Maybe to address some of the O'Double stuff? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and to that he just basically said, look, we have a lot of guys in front of Odubel Herrera right now, and it's in Major League Baseball's hands. He's suspended for, 80 games, 81 games mm-hmm. now. So they'll see where they're at in spring training, but I would highly doubt Odubel Herrera ever plays for the Phillies again.
Yeah.
And when the president of the team comes out and lists the depth chart that's ahead of Odubel Herrera, it was kind of like, okay, he's not saying it. Maybe he can't say it because of the Players Association, because of the union, but I get what he's saying. Odubel Herrera won't be back. Now, the only thing that really was a statement, though, again, was Gabe Kapler is our guy. Like, but that even that, I don't think needed to be said. Maybe he needed to say. Maybe the organization obviously felt like they needed to come out and say something because they wanted to give their guy that confidence, that backing. Because maybe they feel as if the clubhouse isn't listening to him. Maybe that's the only thing. If I'm really reading into something, maybe they feel as if that locker room, that clubhouse is starting to slip away from Gabe, and maybe they felt like they needed to put their foot down and say, look, we're not making a move here. Nobody's losing their job. Play better. That was the overriding theme of what Andy McPhail had to say.
And we're not going to help you by picking anybody else up. So, you know, you guys have to pick it up yourselves.
Yes, but you know what? Logan Morrison, congratulations.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I didn't realize he had 38 home runs last year.
Yeah, he hit with some pop.
Yeah. Only 85 RBIs. They sent a lot of solos there.
Well, then he fits right in because that's all the Phillies do.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hoping that's the case, that it does help out a little bit here, but they need more than that. They need arms.
Like, yeah.
I do believe at some point the bats are going to come around, but you got to figure out what you're doing at second base. You got to figure out what you're doing at center field. You got to figure out that it's still the best idea to have Mikel Franco playing third base. I know that you might have to put up with him for weeks at a time at the plate, but you know consistently in the field he'll be doing a heck of a job for you. Like, even Bryce Harper hasn't been as much of a bust as people in Washington said he would be in right field. I mean, that throw that he made the other day on Saturday, that was phenomenal.
Yeah,
that was remarkable, that mm-hmm. throw. It was incredible. But overall, I think offensively this team is going to come around. I think it's a matter of the front office coming around on the pitching staff to let them know that they need some help. You can't have Jake Arrieta feeling like at 75-80% he's going to be the best option for the team to be your number two starter in the rotation just when Aaron Nola looks like he's hitting his stride. If you're not going to get any more bullpen help, then you got to be able to help out the starting pitchers. You got to be able to help out the rotation a little bit here. Like, I don't get that the Phillies can just, at this time, like Mike just told us, put their foot down and say, nah.
97.5 The Fanatic.